League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All is right with the world again. The Monday Night Delight is in studio. Carla Dawson. Carla, welcome. I mean, the first question, the obvious question. Where were you? I mean, a lot of people show up to work late, but an hour late for a two-hour radio show? Where have you been?
You will have to check the phone booth.
Well, see, that's what she does. She goes off to places.
My past outfit's in the phone booth.
Oh, and she's outfit. Changed yeah. into her Superwoman outfit or Wonder Woman outfit.
I was going to ask, because that's a scary outfit.
I know.
You know,
it gives princess, you the shivers, doesn't
you know,
it?
The, what the Princess of Darkness comes strolling in here.
I know. I've totally bucked the trend, and it's bugging me, Ron. I'm not feeling my mojo because I'm not dressed as my Princess of Darkness today.
The thing about her is there's tough. So many names. She's the Gloss. She's the Princess of Darkness. She's the Monday Night Delight. It's just confusing.
I'm just glad you all came down to get me because you were having so much fun. I was listening to you on the way in. I thought, these two, they don't need me.
Never.
But luckily, you sent an intern down to get me.
Well,
that was kind.
I was forced to. I said.
I know you.
I wanted to just get a cardboard cutout. I would have been, you know, happy with that. But
truth is, don't let him tell you that, Carla. He was somber the whole show. He was down, distraught. I caught him trying to cheer himself up. He kept going to the Tristan Thompson video online.
I see a little glisten near your tear
well,
ducts.
I was, you know. He had to rescue me. I was down in the fetal position.
Enough is enough. He was sad. But we're glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
So you missed a great interview with Phil Savage, GM, former GM of the Browns. We talked all things draft. We went through the definitive mock draft, which was mine, the one that everybody's waiting to hear. Yes,
Ron,
there's a lot of hype and hoopla all about that.
Okay, so who does Phil say they're taking number one? Are they taking Darnold or Allen?
Well, he said Darnold or Allen. I have said Sam Darnold.
That's not helpful.
The one thing he said is the Browns must draft a quarterback. And so he said it's down between those two.
And does he feel the Browns is where quarterbacks go to die, or does he think this is a different regime?
He has more hope than you.
Okay, good. I hope so. Hey, listen, I want it to be good.
Hey, given the aging of the quarterbacks in the division, Roethlisberger and Flacco, if the Browns draft well, they are positioning for a grand future.
They really are.
All right. When we come back, we're going to look at the early trends in MLB. Now with Carla Dawson here, we can talk some deep baseball when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And the light has gone back on in the building. Carla Dawson has returned to the studio. And I've promised you some MLB talk because you're really excited. I mean, actually, tomorrow here in Houston, you'll be watching the Astros face a pretty extraordinary player on the Angels.
Yes, the modern-day Babe Ruth.
The modern-day Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei the pitches. Let's see it.
Well, let's see. He will be pitching tomorrow, not hitting tomorrow.
Right.
And which should be a really great matchup.
And you're going to join me, boss.
I will be there in the press box. Really look forward to that one. It's been fun to watch Ohtani develop. It's been fun to watch him come in and really do something that nobody has done in forever, to be both a hitter and a pitcher. So we will see him firsthand tomorrow.
And look what he's single-handedly done for that franchise.
Well, the team looks great. The Angels are winning for them.
They are neck and neck with the Astros in the AL West. Yeah,
right. So a good matchup tomorrow. So we're early in the season still, but there are some trends developing. Let's talk about some. What have you noticed or seen emerging as trends in the MLB this far?
here in Houston, where we are World Series champs with the Astros.
You rub that in, don't you?
Well, you know.
Or you wear that well,
hey,
maybe.
It's our first time to ever be able to say that, so we got to use it well.
Right.
Right? Like, if you've got your green jacket, you can only wear it in public for a year, you got to wear it.
Absolutely.
So, but I think more and more teams are trying to emulate what they think the Astros were doing. And I'm talking about tanking. The Astros weren't tanking. I think they just had really bad teams or bad you know, they lost a lot of good players at one time and were slowly rebuilding it. They had a couple hundred plus lost seasons in a row. And I think that people are seeing the success that that translated to with the World Series championship and are thinking they want to emulate it, like break down in the present to create something better long term. And you look at the numbers right now, there are seven teams out of 30 that are currently playing 350 ball or worse. And 350 ball translates to about 57 wins.
Wow.
On a 162 game season.
Right. That's pretty miserable.
Seven teams
are playing. So about a quarter of the league is playing that kind of ball.
Yes. I think that's a really.
So the T word, tanking,
which
was really a common term in NBA, is creeping into MLB in some sense. But I do think tanking in baseball is a little bit fool's gold. I get it in the NBA. You could tank. Remember, everybody was tanking for Tim Duncan. They tanked, well, way back for Hakeem Olajuwon and Ralph Sampson. Tanking in the NBA has been around a long time. But in MLB, I think it's fool's gold because I think it's getting the number one pick, getting the number three pick in MLB only gets you the chance to develop a guy. It's a longer cycle from draft pick into MLB. And frankly, what the Astros did was not tanking. I mean, I just can't see it that way. They had the when Jim Crane bought the team, the Astros management ownership stepped into a team that was bereft in the farm system. It was a complete rebuild. And sure, they benefited from getting high draft picks, but that was not a design tank. And frankly, I just don't see that methodology from the NBA translating well into MLB when the teams are so big and one player can't change the equation so quickly.
No, agreed. And you can see with the NBA, you know, your starting lineup is five guys.
Yep.
So when you have the chance to get a transcendent player, which we see in the NBA, that you can translate immediately from high school to the professional league. You can translate easily from 1 year in college to the pros, you know, especially the top draft picks, your first rounders. And so you will see an immediate, when you're 20% of that lineup, it's going to make a big difference. In baseball, you've got 30 teams. They draft about 150 guys per team. And out of that, you know, going through the minor system, the A, AA, AAA system, maybe five make it out. And you don't know what that timeline is. It's a very, and it depends how well your farm system, A, is stacked up, and B, how well you can develop throughout the farm system. And I think that's where the Astros kind of have a double whammy. You're right. They rebuilt that farm system intentionally under Jim Crane's ownership, and they've been able to develop the players that are coming through it and develop them well.
So here we sit. Tanking is a common word in the NBA. Mark Cuban was fined for talking out loud to his players about how they might be better off if they just lost some games. Tanking now creeping into MLB. Is there a solution for it? I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, you ought to just have a monetary system that paid people or teams to perform at a certain level so that they didn't tank deliberately. To me, the only solution, the only way you really get rid of tanking altogether was an idea I first heard from Danny Ainge, which basically said that in the NBA, he was talking about then, that the draft order ought to just be a rotation. Independent of your record, would be a rotation of who got to pick first, second, third, every year, just rotated through. So there would be no benefit to tank. It would just be a rotation of picks.
I like that for the NBA. I don't know that that would work for Major League Baseball. I don't know. I think this is a new phenomenon.
Right.
In MLB, it's right. Not in the NBA. I don't like paying anybody anything because then you have to determine who really is tanking and who is just flat out terrible.
Right.
You know, or chooses to be that style. Like, for example, the Oakland A's. They're kind of almost like a farm system. Mm. They get these players on the cheap. They do develop them well. And as soon as they get, it's like a remodel. As soon as the players get expensive, off they go.
Right.
It, which is great. It, it's a great feeding ground. I mean, all these great players that you'll see, I think, I bet they went through the A's at one point. I mean, I think it's a rite of passage in Major League Baseball, but that is the philosophy in Oakland. You know, it doesn't work well for the home team, but it sure gets, you know, gets these players out into.
And when the A's underperform, they do get better picks, which enable them to get some level of hope and some level of interest, frankly, from the fans, because they've gotten guys who are touted and drafted early.
Right.
So but it's a tough one. I like the rotation in the one sense that it eliminates any incentive to tank. On the other side, of course, you sacrifice some parity. I mean, certainly the whole NFL parity is predicated on the fact that the worst teams like the Browns are going to get these high picks every year. So it's a chance to create parity, and you would eliminate tanking at the expense of potential parity. But it's certainly tanking is an egregious thing to have in a world where people are spending big dollars to turn out and watch games firsthand.
And I think the trouble that Major League Baseball has is you look at there's more and more teams now that are saying, why are we going to bring in like a quick upgrade so that we can maybe get to the postseason and like win one wild card game, like get to one wild card. Like, what does that do for you? It's not, they don't want to be stuck in that purgatory where if you're not the bottom of the barrel, like Pittsburgh, for example, you know, dumps Garrett Cole's salary and dumps another all-star, you know, outfielder. And what are they doing? They happen to be on this incredible win streak and they're thinking, this is not what I planned. So I guess what would help out those teams like that is the powerhouses in the divisions. Like you look at the Boston Red Sox right now, best major league, best record in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees. You've got to be the bullies and you've got to take care of those lesser teams. You know, and honestly, up until the weekend in Oakland, Boston has done that with an 11-1 record against sub 350 teams. New York hasn't. They're 2-4 against Baltimore, against Miami. You've got to make this a true reflection of these teams' talents. You've got the bullies have to take care of the business.
Well, yeah, you raised that great point. So the Red Sox and the Yankees, much of who wins that division will depend upon how they perform against these really weak teams that are destined to be tanked.
Right.
But anyway, when we come back, we're going to take a break and we're going to get to visit when we come back with Lance Zierlein, who knows all things NFL and all things NFL draft. Lance Zierlein, radio show host here in Houston, now out in L.A. with NFL.com covering the draft. So Lance Zierlein, when we return, we'll ask him how he views the top five picks unfolding and what the Browns will do to set the tone at the start of the draft. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to the Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio. And joining us now is Lance Zierlein. Lance, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, great. It's great to have you. Of course, Lance Zierlein, a radio show host here in Houston.
The and man, now, the myth, the legend.
He is the man, the myth, and the legend. Welcome in.
Lance, I have to start right away. There is just one thing that is keeping me up at night, and I know you are the one that can solve my dilemma. So I have to start with Josh.
Let me pause on that. Lance, you know she does stay up at night worrying about these points.
I do. I really have to get a life. That's what my husband tells me. So, Lance, help get me straight. So Josh Allen, I've seen these stats, and I just am so curious why nobody is talking about this, and it doesn't seem to factor into his draft conversation, which is total passing yards for the top quarterbacks for 2017. And they've got Mayfield at the top with over 4,600, Darnold 4,100, Rosen 3,700. Allen, out of the top six quarterbacks, is number six at 1,812.
What? Yeah, he had some injury issues. They didn't throw it as much. He doesn't throw the ball as much in that offense. You know, really what's an even bigger concern than that is that he didn't elevate the players around him. His completion percentage was low once again, which has been a trend dating all the way back to high school. And, you know, that it is a real concern. I don't – you know, you can inflate college stats all you want to, but in this particular instance, I think there's something to those stats because – when has he been ultra productive? When has he been a guy who has elevated everyone around him and taken his offense to new heights? I just he doesn't really have that in his background, and that kind of bothers me.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein, NFL draft expert and local host on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. So, Lance, let's look at the Cleveland Browns. They've got number one and number four. Who do you see them taking at number one, and who would you like to see them get at number four if you were the GM of the Browns?
Well, I think you're going to start hearing a lot of talk about Baker Mayfield at one now, and that's going to be the big surprise of the draft, is that Baker Mayfield could end up being the first pick. After all this talk has been Darnold and Allen, I think Baker Mayfield's name may start to surface quite a bit here leading up to the draft. So keep an eye on that. And then at number four, if Saquon Barkley doesn't go number two to the Giants, I think there's a decent chance that Saquon is going to be your guy for number four for the Cleveland Browns. So you get a special running back to help out Tyrod Taylor and to help out your quarterback of the future, whoever it may be. I think it makes a lot of sense to go get that running back if he's special, only if he's special. And a lot of people think he's special. I'm one of them. So I think that, you know, Saquon Barkley would be the pick. And Saquon, frankly, would be a pick I might make as well. I don't really have a huge disparity between Saquon and Bradley Chubb, and they're both, you know, I think they're both players who could come off the board there in Cleveland and immediately step into starters roles.
You know, John, in Lance, in Cleveland, so the new GM, John Dorsey, so last year, he was the GM in Kansas City, brings in Patrick Mahomes, who is much like Josh Allen with the rocket arm, really didn't do a whole lot in college. We're yet to see what happens with that. But he waited all the way till the third round to take Akeem Hunt in the third round. Do you think he thinks he's going to follow that protocol of don't take a running back in the top 10, or is Saquon Barkley that much of a transcendent talent that you buck that trend?
Yeah, so I think, and you just said it right there, I think usually that would be the case, but I think when you have a special player, and if you believe a player is special and transcendent, even though it's a position that typically doesn't have as long a shelf life, general managers don't have a long shelf life if they don't win. So you got to go find guys who can help you win. And I believe, you know, and I've heard from people in the league that say John Dorsey's been smitten with him since he was a freshman in college. So I'll go with that, and I'll say special running back to try to help the wins pile up early on, or at least get to a point where you have changed the culture. Yeah, it makes sense. And that's why I would probably buck that whole running back belief for this particular player, if you believe in him.
We're talking to NFL draft expert Lance Zierlein. So, Lance, I saw on sportsmap.com your analysis of Christian Kirk, the wide receiver of the Aggies.
Right.
But the best receiver in this draft, if you had your pick, say the everyone there was not a receiver taken, and you're sitting there with you're either the Cardinals or the Cowboys, you have a strong need at wide receiver, who do you like best?
Oh, I like Calvin Ridley best from Alabama. I think he's the best wide receiver. I don't know if he's going to be a wide receiver one just because of his size. Yeah, that's kind of a concern for some teams. But to me, he's definitely the best wide receiver in this draft. I love the talent. I love his ability to get open. I love the speed. There's a lot of things to like with Calvin Ridley. The only thing you don't really like is that he's not the biggest guy out there. And I think, you know, when it's all said and done, that's the big concern you have.
And between Ridley, Lance, and DJ Moore from Maryland, you would still take Ridley, and do you think both of them are pro-ready? Are they people you can just put out there right away?
Well, I like Ridley more by quite a bit, frankly. But, you know, from what I understand, if we're talking about, for example, the Dallas Cowboys, I've heard the Cowboys are not in love with Ridley and that DJ Moore could be their guy, although it might be in a trade-back situation. So, you know, Calvin Ridley, there are teams who just say he's just not as big as we want, and I do think it could hurt him on draft day. But if we're just talking about the talent, I'll take Ridley over Moore because I think Ridley can come help you right away. And Moore is still, for me, kind of a projection player where you say, well, we think he has the talent to do this, but he hasn't really done it just yet. So I think there's the difference between those two guys.
Talking to Lance Zierlein, NFL draft expert. So, Lance, Quentin Nelson, many consider one of the best guards to come out in a long time. How does he compare to, say, a Zach Martin or some of the other strong guards of the past few years?
I think that's really a good question because, to me, once you call somebody Zach Martin or similar to Zach Martin, that's a huge compliment because he's a Pro Bowl player. The difference is Zach Martin is technically sound. and a very good player. Quentin Nelson from the same offensive line coach, and he's very technically sound as well. But he's incredibly strong, and he is just a brute force. He is a force of nature, and I think that's the big difference, is that Zach Martin is a good run blocker. Quentin Nelson is a great run blocker and really one of the nastiest, most powerful guys you'll find in the draft. So I think there's the big difference between those two players if you're looking for it.
Okay, Lance, I have one more area of anxiety that's keeping me up at night, and you've got to help me with my with my beloved Raiders at the number 10 pick. So I would love to have Roquan Smith with them, of course. And so who do you think are going to be able to pick up either Tre'Mon Edwards, Roquan Smith, or maybe none of them at that point will be available? And do you think it's wise for Reggie McKenzie to move down to get more picks, considering they have so many needs on their roster right now?
Yeah, so I don't know. It really is going to depend on who's there. There's a chance that both those linebackers could be gone, as you just mentioned. And if they are, and they're both, you know, great players at a big position of need, if they're both gone, that doesn't mean that Derwin James is going to be gone. That doesn't mean that Minka Fitzpatrick isn't going to be gone. And they need some help in the secondary. Denzel Ward, cornerback from Ohio State. So they could look to add more picks. There's definitely a possibility of that happening. But the more I look at it, the more I think, you know what? There's some pretty good football players who should still be there at 10 for the Raiders. I would, unless the deal is a really good deal, I might just sit tight.
Okay, I like it.
So, Lance, the Buffalo Bills traded up to get into position for a quarterback, and it looks like maybe the top four will all be gone. Is that really right? Are they in that tough of a spot? What do you think the Bills are going to do? Are they going to try to trade up again?
Yeah, they may have to trade up again, but that's okay because they've got, you know, they've got two first-rounders, so they can move up. Now, I don't know that they want to move up inside. I've always felt like the one spot that makes the most sense is number five, because number five is – I believe, well, John Elway's already said, it's up, it's for sale. Like they could move up, they could move back, they could take a player. So he said all the right things to trigger a potential trade, and now it's just a matter of Buffalo giving him what he wants, and I think that fifth pick could be the spot where the Buffalo Bills target is the spot that they want to, you know, jump into to go get their quarterback of the future. The question is going to be, who's there? You know, you could see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and if that's the case, then you have to be okay with whoever four is, and you have to hope number four on your board is maybe number one or two. I mean, I'm sorry, whoever number four is left is number one or two on your board. So it's going to be tricky. I don't think you just trade up to grab any quarterback. You still have to grab the right one, the guy that you believe in.
And sticking with the quarterback slash Lance, do you think the Patriots are going to use their draft capital to trade up for number 23 into the top 10 if they can to get a successor for 41-year-old Tom Brady?
No, I think they'll address quarterback at some point in this draft. I don't think they're going to use these to move up. I think they're going to use them to get good players. I think one will be a tight end to replace Rob Gronkowski in the very, very near future. And then the other one will be maybe best available. Maybe it could be a quarterback there. Maybe it could be an offensive lineman. Maybe it could be a cornerback. So I think they're going to use those to get good players because their roster is slowly becoming more and more depleted. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're going to use them to move up and draft a quarterback. I think they'll have their eye on a quarterback, and I think they could go Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph, or even Kyle LaLetta, who is from Richmond. They could surprise everyone and draft him.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein, NFL draft expert. So, Lance, the Cowboys – they've got a hole in their defensive front. I like them picking up Daron Payne or Vita Vea, but you see them taking receiver? What do you see them doing at 19?
Well, from what I understand, their primary priority needs are defensive line, as you just mentioned, is one, and then the other one is linebacker. So if the right defensive lineman and the right linebacker are there, I think they draft that first. If not, they could draft DJ Moore. They could trade back and target a wide receiver. But I'm starting to feel like, depending on how the board – now, look, if the board doesn't shape up the way you want it to, you could easily just draft, you know, a wide receiver there. But I have a feeling that they will – if you see the Cowboys trade back out of number 19, then more than likely they're targeting a wide receiver wherever they land. If they stay at 19, I think they want a guy who's going to be an impact player right now. And the problem you have with wide receiver is outside of Calvin Ridley, who I hear they don't love as a number one wide receiver, I'm not sure there's anyone that you want to buy into as the top wide receiver at number 19.
Lance Erline, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for calming all those anxieties of Carla Dawson.
I'm going to have a good night's sleep, Lance. Thanks to you.
Hey, boss, go have a white wine before bed. Let's take a little edge off.
Thanks so much.
No kidding.
Talk soon. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
Welcome back. And now the award-winning, highly anticipated, much acclaimed He Said, She Said segment, where we look at what sports luminaries have said across the globe, and we offer our own analysis and comments. And I'm going to let you tee up the first one. This has to do with James Harden, one of your favorite players, and your MVP for this season.
It is my MVP for the season. And I am a faithful follower of Stephen A. Smith, and he pounds the table also. And he loves LeBron.
Yes.
It's not about who you like more. It's who is most deserving. So I'm going to give you not only quotes of why he's deserving, but it's from opponents that he's playing right now in the Minnesota Timberwolves, round one of the playoffs. And this is from game one when he went off for 44 points.
I got to do my job more effectively on the defensive end. I mean, what did he want? A free throw? A three-pointer? A layup? He got whatever he wanted in that game, and I got to be better at taking that away from him.
Okay, that's a former Texan, Tomball native Jimmy Butler, who was attempting to guard Harden that night. And I loved what he said. Like, what do you want me to do? Whatever he wanted, he got.
Harden has made a lot of people humble this year. He has lit up the league. So Jimmy can take solace that he's not the only one.
Right. But he's a competitor, and I appreciated those really honest comments. And then next we're going to hear from, after the same game, former MVP in Derrick Rose. So this is an MVP who knows MVP material.
I mean, I'm doing the best I can, man. No, he's MVP right now. So my job is just to irritate him. Try to get on this skin, pick him up full court, but at the same time, just compete.
There's two votes.
Yeah.
And those are his opponents. So I think between Stephen A. Smith, me, Jimmy, and Derek, we got ourselves an MVP.
The four of you.
Harden.
You
yes.
Put him over the top. James Harden is going to send you some bouquet of flowers or something when it's all said and
but
done.
But, boss, what do you think? Is
I think
MVP?
Harden is the MVP this year. I agree. This is the year he deserves that recognition.
Yeah, agreed. He's been the bridesmaid. Time to be the bride.
All right, let's shift gears. Let's go to a little NFL. Rob Gronkowski in the news this week as he was asked whether he would retire, and he's seemingly found another passion. He loves his dirt biking, doesn't he? Let's hear what Rob had to say when asked about his NFL career and his passion for dirt bike.
Do you plan on attending the optional workouts that are upcoming?
No.
Why?
Got dirt biking skills.
So, to me, this is probably the first time in history that a major NFL player has taken time off for dirt biking. But I might be wrong. Ron, you've got another quote from Gronk.
When do you plan on making a decision on whether or not you're going to play?
I don't know. Gotta see how my riding goes. But well protected.
I think you're ready for today.
I'm ready for today. I'm ready.
You're a finely tuned athlete.
Oh, that they're going to see a freak elite.
So you want to come back?
Oh, maybe.
Rob Gronkowski, the freak elite.
Freak elite. I mean, I learn something new every day in sports. It's really fascinating.
Well, you ought to listen more closely to Gronk. You'd learn something every day.
I bet I would. I don't even want to know what he was writing. He didn't mention it in the second quote. I'm not asking.
Fair enough.
Not asking. I think in his case, Gronk has had a lot of injuries. I mean, he plays 200%. He's not going to show up to OTAs. He's going to wait until his decision will be made, I think, before the real deal starts. You know, phase two is what, April 30th?
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it's optional. Mm-hmm. So I think the real deal is going to be when training camp starts.
I don't question whether Gronk's going to play this year or not. In fact, even the banter back and forth almost seemed like he was just having fun with it. There was almost a collegial, well, hear this, I've got dirt biking, laugh, as my big alternative to the NFL.
Yeah, it's very Gronk.
Okay, his teammate Tom Brady was also quoted about his future. Ryan, you've got Tom?
It's a big commitment. Sitting here laying here 3 days after the year getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for? You know, what are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
Love that background music,
well,
too.
I know it's like fairy dust is being like sprinkled all over. That's from the Tom versus Time documentary. But that's the end of it. I mean, that's the end of the documentary.
That's the
right
way
there.
He ended it with
right.
Almost his future in doubt, questioning the need for conviction or whether he has that conviction. Again, I think Tom Brady's coming back. Here's the biggest thing reason I think he's coming back is I think that Belichick had a Joe Montana and Steve Young situation like the 49ers, where the 49ers let Montana leave because they had the guy in waiting in Steve Young. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Belichick was, and that's the way I think he saw that season unfolding. Robert Kraft said, no, we're not going to cut Tom Brady loose. We're loyal to him. I'm loyal to him personally, Robert Kraft, to him, and we're going to keep him. So therefore, Garoppolo left. I don't think Kraft would have let that happen unless he had a lot of conviction and had heard from Tom that Tom would be returning and going another year or two or three. So I think for Tom to back out now would almost be a betrayal to the great friendship he has with Robert Kraft.
You bring up an interesting point because I would not have thought about it from the perspective of Robert Kraft, the owner. I'm thinking of it from the perspective of Giselle. He doesn't have to get in bed with Robert Kraft every night, but he does have to deal with his wife. Meaning, do you remember last year? I mean, it was a big, big ruckus when she admitted on a morning show that he has concussions all the time.
Right.
You know, and maybe she's saying, it's time for us to have a good quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
But being the competitor that Tom Brady is, do I honestly believe that he's going to sunset out of his career losing a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it is interesting. If they had won the game, maybe it would be an entirely different picture.
Right.
But he still would have had this dilemma that he would leave Kraft hanging. I mean, I think that Belichick was ready to position for the future and Kraft clung to the past with Tom Brady. But,
well, I think it's interesting because it's not a non-issue for the Patriots. You know, I don't know how serious this banter is with Tom Brady, but it's definitely not a non-issue because you look at this, the succession plan is gone.
Yep.
Jimmy G's in San Francisco. Tom Brady took his family to Qatar or Qatar, however you say it, and he planned to come back after day one of OTAs. He never would have done that ever before this year. You know, you think about that. And then he brought the filmmaker that's doing this Tom versus Time documentary on the trip. He left Alex Guerrero, super trainer, at home. He never leaves him. He's usually always with him. So I just think there's some interesting signs. So I don't know. It's something for the Patriots to think about and to watch.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they really were to lose Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, that would be devastating.
Ooh,
but no, I don't see that happening. I do see the Patriots, I mentioned earlier, drafting a developmental quarterback, a guy like Kyle LaLetta, a Luke Falk in that second to third round.
Even a Lamar Jackson.
And Lamar possibly. Jackson may slip late into the first and be somebody who they pick up. But we shall see. Now, Ron, you've got one more for us, do you not?
Yeah. You want to hear the LeBron James?
Yes, I do.
LeBron, during this game, we got the really devastating news. The Spurs announced that Aaron, Coach Popovich's wife, officially passed away. I know you're close with Pop. Any words or thoughts you'd like to share with him?
Obviously, I'm a huge Pop fan. I love Pop. That's such a tragedy. And, you know, my best wishes goes out to Pop and his family. I know that's devastating news. And, I mean, the NBA family, we all stick together. I know we compete every night, but something like this happens, it puts everything in perspective. So, you know, I send my well wishes and my prayers up to the heavens above. I know the man above never makes a mistake, even when you sometimes have to ask why. But that's just terrible news. And best of luck to Pop, man, and everybody in San Antonio, the whole Spurs family. That's all I can say, Allie.
Aye, aye, aye.
So it was seemingly a spontaneous question.
Right after the Cavs beat the Pacers.
Yes, yeah, right, but it was court. Not a spontaneous question. He had been told about the passing of Pop's wife and that they were going to talk about it before the interview. And so there's a whole lot of theater going on here.
I don't love it. This is my whole issue with LeBron. Not LeBron the player. The guy is unreal. Like, never seen anything like it. It's his size, be able to move like he does. It's LeBron controlling his own narrative yet again. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would have said if I was LeBron and wanted to be authentic, because I do believe what he said, and I do believe he cares about Pop and this NBA family. When Allie posed that question to him, which that's a whole nother issue, trying to get kind of the shock that, you know, wow, we just hit it with him right off the court. I would have said, Allie, I appreciate that you gave me a heads up before this interview, because this is a really hard thing to learn. And then I would have continued on all the nice things LeBron said. I just want to see more authenticity from him and for him to stop acting like he is, you know, Eddie Haskell. I don't like it. I want more of an upfront, and especially using, you know, a very tragic death. And I do believe he was true to his feelings. It just, the way that it was presented was, look how composed I am hearing this, you know, shocking news, when he, in fact, had heard it before. Credit Ernie Johnson, who, as soon as the interview was over, they went to the studio, and he said, to let viewers know, LeBron was told of this news before the interview.
And then shifting to matters on the court, Cavaliers in a dogfight with the Pacers.
Woo.
2-2 the series. How do you see that one unfolding?
It is going to be a dogfight. How I want to see it unfolding, I want to see the Pacers go for it. I love what Victor Oladipo is doing. I'm cracking up at what Lance Stephenson is doing. This is getting to be like two middle school boys between he and LeBron. It's beyond chippy.
Right.
And I really think that Lance is getting into the heads of some of the Cavs right now. I mean, he's being talked about. So, you know, I don't know. I want the Pacers. Pacers in seven. I want to see this keep going.
You heard it from the gloss. We've got one more he said, she said. Ron Culver.
I do. I have one more for you guys, because, you know, we have a lot of postseason going on, but you guys have neglected to really talk about hockey.
Oh, boy.
That's a fact.
And if we really are going to talk postseason, Stanley Cup playoffs, NHL playoff games are probably far superior than any other playoff games.
Fair enough.
Okay. This is what happens when you are listening to a goal, a game-winning shot in overtime.
Blue Jackets can't clear. A shot, they score! Orlov shot! Tipped in! I got two words for you. Caps win! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Columbus! Washington is a win away!
Well, they get the P word for that, passion.
No kidding. I want what he's having. That was
amazing.
I know. He threw a little Raider in there just when he forgot the comma, baby. But nonetheless, we'll take it. That was awesome.
He left the baby out on purpose.
Yes, I think so. Trademarks.
Trademarks.
Yep.
Trademark Raiders.
You never know what Prince Adam is going to do.
That's right.
Fair enough.
That was awesome, I have to say. That was great.
All right, when we come back, we're going to empty out the notebook. Also, Ron Culver has a surprise question for us. Coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So on a night when Carla Dawson just put in 1 hour of work, a light night instead of the two.
Can I stay an extra hour?
Maybe we need to hang out with Patrick Creighton.
I'll hang out with Patrick.
He'll come in with Patrick. His tall, caffeinated iced teas and his donuts.
As long as he shares.
Hostess cupcakes.
That bag of goodies he brings in here.
He brings in some good goodies.
He shouts loud.
He just shout loud.
Ron, you've got a mystery question for us. This is unscripted. I have no idea what you're going to ask.
Exactly. Salisbury brought this up earlier.
That's a dangerous beginning or preamble right
exactly,
there.
Exactly. Just before you guys came on.
Yes.
And the question, I don't know, maybe I'm not cultured enough. That's all I can think about.
Well, that's most likely.
But we brought up the fact of, you know, there's a new royal in the world.
Sure.
You know, yes. Prince William.
Kate's new baby boy.
Princess Kate, yeah, they had a new baby boy. No name yet because
they have to wait several days to reveal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then he brought up, what Sean brought up was asking his all the bench warmers, what's Prince William's last name?
Question.
And for someone as famous as he is, and, you know, same with Prince Charles, Queen Elizabeth, like, their last name just isn't on the tip of our tongue.
Because they're known as that HRH, His Royal Highness or Her Royal Highness or whatever it is.
So that's my point. I'm thinking from now on, I mean, you know, Mr. Gao, I'm sorry, you're always going to have a last name, but we could have just the Princess of Darkness, Carla.
Here we go.
The gloss.
And drop.
And I could be HRH, Her Royal Highness.
Easy there.
You're almost there.
Getting carried away.
It was one of those questions of, you know, that really struck me that I had to Google it.
And is there a last name? Because I know Princess Diana was Diana Spencer before she was married.
That was her maiden name.
Yes.
Their last name is, if I remember correctly, it was Montblanc Windsor.
Get out.
Montblanc, I guess, is Prince Philip's last name. Windsor, for obvious, I mean,
Queen Elizabeth.
That makes a lot of sense that, you know, it'd be Elizabeth's last name, so.
Wow, that's a heady last name.
And you heard it here first, or maybe not.
No, I'm pretty sure you did. I don't think anyone else said it.
That's a great point to bring up. Why don't we know that? It's like Prince. Who knows Prince's last name? Because he is Prince.
Madonna, Prince,
right?
Cher. Some people just are better without a last name.
The gloss.
The gloss.
And there we have it.
Well, we're glad you made it in, and it was a delightful second hour with
I think
gloss.
We should do this again next week.
Stay tuned for another hour of Carla.
Yes.
You got all Carla all the time on SB Nation Radio.
Woo-hoo.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.